Take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12. I'm going to make this next statement, and I mean it in a very positive way. Not a negative way. Been knowing Stephen and Cherie now for a number of years. As some of you do. Some of you are new to them. Some of you have known them kind of more recently or whatever. But ain't it awesome to see how they've grown in the Lord? Stephen and I can say that. And Cherie, as we have talked about past lives of things that where we were at, what we've done. And yet, God, not only for them, but true for me as well, gave the grace to change us. And so, awesome music. Appreciate that. Mark chapter 12. Before I go to that, just hold that there a minute. I got one other praise I didn't jump out there and say. You know, sometimes being the preacher gives you a little privilege. So I'm going to take my privilege for being thankful. Discounting all politics and everything else. If you are a Christian, you should be thankful for the president we have today who read scripture from the Oval Office. Although he's beat up on it, that shows you what the devil is after. But I will give, don't always agree with everything he does, but he's still a man. But I do pray for him. But he read 2 Chronicles about a nation. 2 Chronicles, read it first. In 2 Chronicles here, and we have that we've had on posters and things. And he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people, that's you and me, if we know Jesus Christ. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And I give him credit for having the backbone and the faith in our Lord to read that from his White House, our house, as president. And pray for those who scoff and ridicule him for that. My personal opinion, they are the workers of the devil. They just don't know our loving Savior yet, but there's hope for them. Huh? So, not a political message, a message of faith. And folks, that is what we should have in every one of our leadership roles, and that's from mine in your house to the White House. Okay? So, I'll get off of that, but it does tie into the message. Mark chapter 12. Title of the message is The First Commandment. So we want to take a few minutes and listen to this. And I say not listen to me, listen to what God's Word has to say. And not only that, the song, which is the last one was great, but the song right before that said, Lord, keep me in your will so I'm not in your way. How true that is. When we start doing our will instead of His will, we get in His way. That's not where I want to be. I don't want to be in His way. I want to be in His will. And I hope you're the same. And what that ties to is the very first commandment. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. His Word, not ours. As we look at this, Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all our heart, with all our strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. So when we look at this, the first commandment, if you go to the book of Exodus in chapter 20, the very first commandment God tells, that gives Moses, is there are no other gods but me. He's the only one. And because he is the only God, and you say, well, how does that relate to Jesus saying the first commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, so forth? It's simple. God created all things. There is no other God but Him. So who else is there to love? See, mankind, because of sin, has placed a lot of things, and you hear that term all the time, oh, I just love this, I just love that, I just love this. We put everything, or try to put it in front of the number one thing we should only love, and that is our Lord. We can have love for one another, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, even a convertible car. We can have all those loves, but nothing should ever be in front of our love for Him. For you see, to truly love anything else has to come from His love. Scripture tells us that God is love, right? We find that in the Scriptures, that He tells us that. What Jesus is actually quoting is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. The exact same words, if you flip over to Deuteronomy and read it, will be what is written here in Mark 12, 28 and 30. And 29, 30, and 31, is that it is our Lord that we should love. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, we have pictures in our own lives, and we can think about that. What I'm going to use this morning is, because we always want to go to Scripture because we know that it is perfect in every way. It is from the mouth and the Spirit of God given to man that writes down for mine and your edification and for us to be able to live by, to have examples of our own lives. You've heard me say that before. There is nothing new in this world that we see today that has not already been in some form or fashion. The mode of travel may change. The intelligence and the technology that we have may change. What doesn't change is the human race. We're the same as it was in the very beginning as it is today. We act the same. Once sin came into the world, you read through this book, there's all sorts of killings and cruelties. Guess what? We got killings and cruelties today. But we also have love, the same as God originally made our world to be. So what we look at here is the fact that We are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. So I'm going to use examples, and Jesus relied back on what he tells us over and over again. He says, I tell you what I have heard from my Father. I tell you what I have seen from my Father. He's always pointing back to the Father, of where he gains his wisdom, his strength, his power, his words. He realizes that we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but yet they are all the same. They are one. They think alike. Everything they do is in concert. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, the same one that we saw go into the Holy of Holies that resides in us when we accept Jesus Christ. Therefore, he imputes to you and I, if we will pay attention, his Spirit of what will we should do. Go back to that song, keep me in your will. How do we know when we're in his will? When we talk with him, we pray with him, we read his statutes to learn and understand. So the very first thing he also says is he chose the Israelite people to be his people, not because they were the best, not because they were the strongest, not because they were the smartest, but because they were stubborn, they were hard-headed. You know, Jesus says, you're stiff-necked. They refused always to go his will, but wanted to travel in their own will. And we saw that from the time that he made them his people, and he took them out of captivity over in Egypt. Now think with me for a moment, okay? I'm going to put my case to you and allow you to use your own common sense and your intelligence to walk this way to be able to understand it. If you disagree, you can take it up with him because it's his word, not mine. The children of Israel were in slave captivity with the Egyptians and were treated cruelly. God prepared a way for their redemption, just as he prepared a way for you and my redemption through his Son, with a fellow named Moses. And so Moses was God's chosen one to lead the people out of the captivity. Now, God caused, through Moses, and explained to Pharaoh, let my people go, or this is going to happen. And we go through a series of plagues. Finally, with the last one, when the firstborn was killed, Pharaoh was willing to let all of the Israelites go. The people of Egypt gave them gold, gave them cattle, gave them sheep. They gave them anything. It's kind of like our legal system today. We'll just pay you off to go away. Okay? It's not that you're right, but just go away. Quit being a nuisance. Well, they had had these plagues, and they understood that the Israelites' God was much greater than all of the statutes and everything they had. So our Israelite people leave. And then Pharaoh decides that, by golly, I'm going to go back and take them over. And he sends the most powerful army on earth, the Egyptian army. And you recall as it goes along the way, they come up against the Red Sea. And there's no way, and they begin to doubt, and they begin to scream and holler the circumstances. We should have stayed where we were at. Here we are now, we're going to be pushed into the water, and we're all going to die. Does that sound familiar? Look what God has put before me now. It was better that I not have had this issue or problem of today. We begin to doubt, just as they did. And yet, what God did was part those waters. He created these big walls of water. Not only that, as you read through the scripture, what it says is the children of Israel walked across on dry land. Now, we've been in a drought. We understand dry land, right? But we also understand God's given us rain, and he's given us quite a bit. And if you go out there and walk in your yard today, you don't walk on dry land. You hear mush underneath you. Isn't it a sweet sound to hear that little mush? Okay? And they go across that sea on dry land, and as Pharaoh's army comes into the waters, it's not a fairy tale. Science has already proven that today, as archaeologists have found chariot wheels and all still buried in that seawater in the bottom, in the land, the water came crashing down. Oh, wow. Imagine if you were there, even today. You know, we've all seen the floods happen at the Llano River. If any of you have lived here very long, when we've had one of those floods, you understand a wall of water. We see it come from the west out of Mason County most of the time, right? And they're getting it from on up the trail. But we see that large trail of water, and it literally is a wall. I'm always amazed at the new people in our area that, oh, how beautiful that river is. I want to build right down there on it. They do not understand the rage of that river, but when they see a cow floating on her back and they see a house going down that river behind an 8-foot wall, they understand how raging that river can be. And you can go out there and stand on that bridge and feel that thing shake. And so they got to see two walls of water on each side and travel across. We think to ourselves, how could they, not even counting the plagues, how could they say there's not a God? How could they say we need to go back to where we were? Well, we go on past that every day. God gives them food, gives them manna to eat. He gives them water. When they clamored about being thirsty and again said it was better we had been slaves back in Egypt. And I'm paraphrasing a lot of scripture for you, so it's all there. Go read it. I'm just paraphrasing it for a time's sake. And so God tells Moses to go out and speak to a rock. Well, kind of brings back where we were on that song. What did Moses do? He's so frustrated with the people and not paying attention. Instead of speaking to the rock and it bringing forth water, he takes his will and his anger and his emotional distress at the time with these frustrated, stiff-necked people of complaining all the time, and he whacks that rock with a rod instead. And water does come gushing forth. But there was a consequence to him doing it his way rather than God's way. God said, you'll not enter into the promised land. This is where you will pass from this life. See, there's consequences when we get out of God's will. God puts his will there for a reason and a purpose to contain us within his hedge of protection when we follow and are obedient. So these people that were in slavery, and that's probably kind of hard for most of us to think about how bad that could be. Very thankfully, we've not put into that slavery. We see what it's like through history, through concentration camps, and the things that one man can do to another. But they had lived it. And God gave them freedom. You and I as Texans and U.S. citizens understand that freedom, yet today in our world we take it for granted. We have those who want to say, well, we need to rely on the government for everything. I got news for you folks. Anytime you rely on man, you're on a sinking ship. You're worse than the Titanic. At least they knew they were fixing to drown. You don't even realize you're fixing to drown. There is no one to trust but God himself. We go down a little bit further, not only from what took place in there, we get our circumstances just as the Israelites did. Well, Lord, I don't understand. And part of this, I'm going to tell you, with the situation with Royce, you know, God and I had a good conversation about this. And I wasn't mad, but I also questioned the why. You and I do that. We question the why. Why do we got to go through the trial of cancer? Maybe it's a trial of finances. Maybe it's a trial of relationships within a family. Maybe it's where you're at in work. Maybe it's not getting a job that you really wanted or who you thought was the love of your life suddenly walks away. Put any circumstance you want. We begin to question God and our faith. But God, I have prayed to you about this. I ask you for this. And we go on and on and on. And yet, Lord, that's not what you did. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Turn with me, if you will, over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And I'm having you turn or at least write these down. I encourage you, because when those moments of the circumstances come around you, I want you to have God's promise and His assurance of where He is at and what He has to offer for you and I. In 55, verse 8, chapter 55, verse 8 of Isaiah, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, we don't think on the same level that God thinks. You and I see the here and now. We plan and we think we see what we're going to do this afternoon. But as we all know, that plan can change that quick. Kind of like first time you ever came to the Hill Country, old West Texas boy. You know, I learned early on that somebody run from the police, run from me. Hey, this was cool because I was used to West Texas. I can let them get a mile away and still see them. And suddenly I come down here and there's curves and there's hills and dips. And where did he go? That's life. Really think about our life. It's a roller coaster ride. We have curves. We have lows. We have highs. We can't see what's around that next corner, despite how some drivers now drive in a no-passing zone. It's there for a reason, because you can't see what's coming. And most of you have been like I am at some point. They pass around, and suddenly they're slamming on brakes because they're meeting an 18-wheeler head-on. But they didn't perceive it. They couldn't see it. God's not that way. God actually sees from where He wants us to be back to where we are. In fact, Scripture tells us that He knew us before we were even in our mother's womb. And He had a plan for each one of our lives. And He begins to work things and mold us and hopefully teach us that our faith relies upon Him without doubt. That no matter what path or circumstance He places before us, He has a reason and a purpose, and if we'll trust Him, we will come out stronger and more close to Him and more within His will when it's over. It's easy to say that, right? But it's another thing to live it. It's another thing to be in the midst of that storm. And you're looking for the center of that storm so you can find that peace. Well, the only place that peace is takes us back to what Jesus said. To love the Lord our God with all of our whole, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. You see, to love Him fully, 100%, we as people, number one, first have to have Him in our hearts. Now, I'm human just like y'all are. I know that I've accepted Jesus Christ. I know today if I fell over right here dead, never breathed another breath on this earth, that breath would be in heaven. I hope you have that assurance. If not, I'll give you an opportunity to have that shortly. But I also know that with the circumstances, my mind begins to work. And my mind is still human. And it begins to play the what-if game and the why. And that's the devil's playground. There's a single word for his playground. It's called doubt. When he approached Eve and Adam in the garden, if you go back and read that and look at it literally, they look at the fruit. It says that Eve looked upon it and it looked delicious. It looked like it would really be good. And she stopped and she said, "Wait a minute. God said, can't eat of that fruit or I will die." The devil posed that doubt right off the first, and that's still his greatest tool. Our greatest tool is prayer. His greatest tool is doubt. And he said, did God really say? You see, there's that doubt. Well, maybe I misheard. Right? Practical experience. We heard that this last week. Russ and I did. We went to see the radiologist. Now, me being me, I will confess that to her. I said, why do we need to go see the radiologist to have a consult? The doc done told us she's going to have the chemo. We done do the surgery. We're going to do the chemo. We're going to do radiation. I said, what do we need to go see him for? Let's just get on with it. My ignorance. I'll admit it. Because the doc said you're going to do 6 rounds of chemo and you're going to have 3 rounds of radiation. When we get there and this radiologist looks at us like that standard calf at a brand new gate. He said, it isn't 3 rounds, it's 33 rounds. And you talk about backing up, not to begin to doubt myself, going, I know my hearing may not be perfect, but I know what I heard, and I know how to comprehend that the other doctor said 6, and that's the way my memory, I always tie things together to remember things, it was 6 and 3. He goes, nope, it's 33. Okay. Now the good part is, it only lasts about 10, 15 minutes for the whole deal to happen, but you got to drive an hour and a half both ways. Makes sense to me, right? But it began to question it, that doubt of, well, now, which one do I believe? We felt very comfortable, I will tell you that, with Dr. McCormick. And we met with him, and me being me that's not bashful, I asked him straight up, are you a man of faith? He said, absolutely. I have to pray before I go to every surgery. It's not my hands, it's his. Good. I know we're in a good place. But all of a sudden now, I'm doubting his word because he said 3. You know, and Russ and I get to talk later and go, he told us 3. We both heard it. Now it's 33. Which then led me start having a long talk with my Lord. I do not understand this. And then I'm reminded, you said you would love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Now, each one of you can put what your circumstances is, because every one of you got them. We've seen that throughout this past week, couple of weeks. It may be the loss of someone. It may be an illness. It may be a hospital stay. It may be whatever. There are so many different things of all of our lives. But you see, if we truly love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, we're not going to doubt what He has. And the flood of memories begin to come back of all the times and the different circumstances that God has performed His miracle ways always for my and our best interests. What we thought was disaster at the beginning, when we got to actually look back the way He does from the future back to us, we realize, you know, Lord, that old gal I thought was so pretty and ought to be mine, I sure am glad you didn't give her to me. And you know, Lord, that truck that I thought was perfect, that I see all broken down now because they've had all the recalls, sure glad I didn't get to buy that thing. And you can put whatever you want into that scenario. I always remember that old country song about Bobby Baird did, you know, about the winter. And he talks in there at one point, I got this old boy's wife. And he said, yeah, I got her, I'm the winner. Yeah. You see, there's a lot of times I kind of have to remember that you're right, Lord. Your way was better. I didn't understand it at the time. And there's a lot that we won't understand. And then there's those times that, like your song, and like Moses, I decided to do it my way, which meant I got in his way. And you see, God's not going to let anything get in his way. If you put something more important in your life than him, he'll take it away. No matter what it is. I will be the first one to tell you, you don't put your spouse, your family, your job, whatever it is, never put it on a higher pedestal than he is, because he will take it away. He'll knock that pedestal down. We serve a jealous God, but it's perfect jealousy. He does it for mine and your benefit. But he also makes us another promise in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Many of you know that. If you don't, you can turn to it or mark it down and look for, go back and read it later. And in 33:3, he says, "Call unto me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." For all us country folk, that means you ain't even imagined them. You never thought they would be possible. In my whole life, I never thought I'd stand before you as a preacher. I'll put old Stephen on the spot. Ever thought you'd be standing up here singing in church? Yeah. None of us do, right? You see, his ways are greater. Would you like to do away with it and not sing in church anymore? Nah, me neither. You see, if we really want to love others, which ties us into what Jesus said the second, we got to get ourselves out of his way. Then we can truly love others as we love ourselves. Doesn't mean we're not going to have conflicts. See, at first commandment means that you and I are committed to him 100%. Not my will, but your will. Jesus put it another way, and I'll ask you to turn to this. This will be the last scripture I ask you to turn to. Turn with me, if you will, over to Luke. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 33, Jesus again is speaking. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. What he's actually telling you and I right there, when we lose ourself, our life, and give it to him, we preserve our life. If we think we can do it on our own, and we don't need God, we'll lose it. That's for us as an individual. That's for me and you as a family. That is for you and I as a community, a state, and a nation. I started this out by saying I am praise God that we have a president that's willing to read the gospel word for word out of the Oval Office. For you see, if a nation loses its faith in the Almighty, the one and true living God, a nation is done. History records it throughout all of our history. Be thankful for those leaders that stand for the statutes of God. Put that as part of your prayer when you cast your vote, because we have the privilege of electing our leaders. That same faith as you and I go about our daily lives in the circles that we communicate with, work, school, our family. We need to be in His will. For not all of them, unfortunately, know our Lord and Savior. And maybe it's even a stranger. You know, when it says to love our neighbor as ourselves, sometimes our neighbor's the person we don't even know. But they sure do need to know Jesus. For He is love. They sang another song about mercy walked in. Think about your life if His mercy had never walked into it. The love He showed us, not because we deserved it. You know, it's easy to love somebody that loves you back. But it's hard to love somebody that doesn't even want to speak to you. Or that's hurt you. Or made you mad. The only way we love them is through Him. And that means you have to trust Him 100%. You got to love Him enough to love that other person. First commandment takes care of all the rest. Without loving Him, we can't ever love our neighbor. And all those other rest of the Ten Commandments we'll violate over and over again because we don't have the love. Paul devoted a whole chapter in Corinthians. And he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. He says, but yet the greatest of these is love. Why? Because God is love. And without Him, you and I will never be able to love anything the way we should love it. He's the giver and the creator of all things. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, then some of this may sound foreign to you, but at the same time, I believe the Holy Spirit is already speaking to you. You may have been a Christian for many a year, but maybe the circumstances and all have taken you down, or maybe you're just in that spot right now. The reason, whatever, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that God put this message to me and from me to you for a reason and purpose. Every single one of us. If you're on a high and not facing those down circumstances right now, got news for you. You will. But in all those things, you and I are promised the joy and the peace knowing that we trust Him with our lives. If you don't know Him, we want to give you that opportunity. No greater decision will you ever make. Don't believe anything the old devil has to say. Yeah, but you probably going to have to lose this or that. He wants to cast that doubt. Devil's already been defeated. That battle is over. The only reason all of us are still here is God's giving time for you and I and others that are around us to accept Him and be part of His family. Even as Jesus told that scribe, you're not far from the kingdom of God. I'm a firm believer that God leaves us here to perfect us. He knows our days. He also knows everything about us. And He allows us the opportunity to come and know Him and to influence others. Loving Him with all of our heart. It's easy to say, I love you. It's another to walk it every day. But that is what He promises, is if you trust Him with all of our heart, as Proverbs tells us to trust with all of our heart, in order to trust Him, we've got to love Him. This invitation is for you. For those of us that have known the Lord and we're going through circumstances, this invitation is for all of us, too, to remember our first love. which is Him. Love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Paul said, I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. That's the full surrender. We want to give you that opportunity to know that loving and merciful Lord and Savior called Jesus Christ today. I'm going to say a very simple prayer. You can hear folks all over this room say that same prayer to encourage you, because you see, we're not special. We've been right where you are. We've just been forgiven, and you can be too. For those of us that do know Him, if we're going through those trials and tribulations, this is a reminder of the strength, of the faithfulness that God does. He creates miracles around us every single day. We just don't always see them. We're not aware of them, but they're there. Simple things. You traveled out here without having a wreck. That's God's grace. You leave here and make it home, that's God's grace. Every day, He cares for us and surrounds us with His protection. Our true love. As we pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask You today to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins and walk with me always, even into eternity. And that's what He promises. If we invite Him in to be our Lord and Savior, and we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, then He promises He will never forsake us and never leave us. We are His for all of eternity. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus Christ into your heart for the very first time, I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you because your life just started over. I'm going to ask you simply to slip your hand up, back down. No one else is looking.